If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, and it makes a statement there that says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." I think many underestimate the importance of the value of the truth. To buy the truth, we have to make every effort that we can in order to gain understanding and wisdom of the Word of God, actually, because it's the Word of God that is truth. Remember, Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by your word is truth." So when we think about what truth is, we're thinking about the Word of God. And so buy the Word of God, have a knowledge of the Word of God, gain wisdom and instruction in God's Word, understand it. That's what it means to buy the truth. To buy the truth, we're not going to place any earthly possession or worldly gain or worldly enjoyment over the truth, over God's Word and His will for us. And even though the words of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23 were spoken before the gospel was even preached, I believe that these words of wisdom reveal to us several principles that we can see in the New Testament as well. So first, let's consider the buying part, the buy the truth. You know, when you buy something, you have to count the cost. You have to consider a couple of things when you go to make a purchase. Number one, I think we look at what we want to buy and we look at what someone is asking, the asking price of that, and we ask ourselves the question, is what I'm buying worth the price that I'm going to have to pay to get it? I think that's the first question we have to ask ourselves. Is it worth what I'm going to give for it? And then after we maybe figure out, okay, it is worth what I'm going to have to give for it, we have to ask ourselves another question when we go to buy something, and that is, am I willing to pay it? Because just because something is worth it doesn't necessarily mean that we are willing to fork over the money for it. And so we consider several things, I think, when we go to make a purchase. We understand that. And when it comes to buying the truth, there are things that we have to consider as well that are very, very important. Jesus taught that there would be some expense involved if we're going to be His disciple. It wasn't going to be just really easy, and He was up front with His disciples about that, that it was going to be a price that they would have to pay. Look in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, and we see that Jesus is telling them that to be His disciple, they're going to have to sacrifice. They're going to have to give up some things. He says there, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and children, brothers and sisters, yeah, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, I don't think this is to be taken literally, that we're to hate our relatives, but He's saying here that He has to come first. The principle here is one of priorities. And the fact is, Jesus doesn't want us to hate anyone. He even later tells us to love even our enemies. But the point that He is making here and the principle here is, we must deny anything that's going to drag us away from Christ. We have to put Him first. And if the choice has to be made between the love of Christ and the love of family or friends, then the choice that we have to make is Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. That's a price that maybe we have to pay. Maybe we have to give up friends. Maybe it comes between us and family. But we have to choose Christ. Jesus also makes this principle in Matthew, the 10th chapter and verse 34. Where He points out that when He came, it wasn't necessarily going to be easy. That there were going to be people that were going to be against Him, and for His disciples to stand with Him and to stand for the truth, that sometimes it was going to cause them some problems. Notice He says in Matthew 10 and verse 34, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemy will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying here that sometimes there's going to be conflict because you make a stand for the truth. Sometimes there's going to be conflict because you are a Christian. That's a price that we have to pay. We have to count that cost that's involved when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus. We have to count the cost. Some want to wait till it's easy to be a Christian. They want to wait until they're not going to have to give anything up. They want to wait to the point where they're not going to have to sacrifice. And unfortunately, people that have that attitude will probably go to the grave waiting for that. So we have to calculate the stakes that are involved. Jesus also tells this in Luke 14 about, makes the comparison between of someone who was physically planning to do something and counting the cost and makes a spiritual application to that. In Luke 14, beginning in verse 28, he says, "Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation and not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks condition of peace. So likewise, whoever you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Again, it's going to cost. Jesus says you can't let anything come between us and him, that we have to give him the first priority in life. You know, Jesus is speaking here of many who were following him at that time. They were following him, but they really weren't his disciple. Some were following him for the wrong reason. And just crowding along behind Jesus, that doesn't make you his disciple. And that's what many were doing. They were following along because they were getting some physical benefits from Jesus, and they were seeing the great miracles, and I guess maybe entertained by those things. And so they were following along, they were crowding along behind him, but they weren't truly his disciples. And Jesus says, make a commitment. You've got to make a commitment, and you've got to count the cost. These were the people that Jesus knew when the times got rough. When he knew when the hard times came, when they were going to suffer persecution, well, these people would not be following him anymore. And he says there's a cost that you have to pay. And he's up front about the struggles that lie ahead. Matthew 13 and verse 45 and 46. He makes this point though. And it's very similar, I think, to the point that's made back in Proverbs of buy the truth and do not sell it. Because Jesus says in Matthew 13 and verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." As I said before, I think we underestimate the value of truth sometimes. Here's a man who saw something and he was going to do whatever it took so it could be his. Even if it meant selling everything that he had, he understood the value in it. Whatever the cost of discovering the truth, it's worth the price that we must pay. Even if it means giving all that we have. Even if it means sacrificing everything. That's how valuable God's word should be to us. Romans 8 and verse 18, Paul lived his life, I think, by this principle. And he says here, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He understood the value of the truth because it led to salvation. It led to the reward. And he understood that any sufferings or persecutions that he had in this life, it was well worth it. It was worth paying that price because of the great reward that was awaiting him for eternity. And that's the perspective we need. That yes, we're going to have to sacrifice. Yes, there is indeed a price that we have to pay. But as Paul says, it's all worth it. Because if we miss heaven, we've missed it all. And that's certainly not what we want to do. So we must buy the truth. We must do whatever it takes to get it. Like the man who saw the pearl of great price, he sold all that he had. That's how we need to approach the truth. Whatever we have to do to get it, we must do it. That means we're going to have to give effort. That means we're going to have to study God's Word to gain a knowledge of His Word. We're going to have to do that to have an understanding of what His will is for us. And then we must live that in our life. And so it means that we're going to have to sacrifice sometimes in order to be a Christian, in order to truly be a disciple of Jesus. But going back to the proverb, it says buy the truth, and then it says do not sell it. It's important that after we have the truth that we don't give it up, that we understand the value of what we have. As the man who sold all that he had for that pearl, I have a pretty good feeling he held on to that pearl with a very tight grip, because he had given so much for it, but he understood the value of it. And that's what it needs to be like with us in God's Word. It is God's message to us for salvation. A sad fact of human nature is, though, that I think we have a tendency to lose our zeal and maybe even our sense of perspective from time to time about what is valuable, and especially as time passes by. When you first become a Christian, you have a great zeal and enthusiasm, and I think you really appreciate what it means and the idea of salvation. But maybe as time passes by, we forget about that a little bit. We often sing the song, Revive Us Again, and I think we need to be revived sometimes. We need to go back and think about what value that we have when it comes to God's Word and the fact of what salvation really means to us. It's sad when those who once grasped the truth, who had bought the truth, they don't hold fast to it till the end. And they ended up selling it for something that's not valuable at all. And that's the worldly pleasures that perhaps they have now. The scriptures often warn us against the tendency of selling the truth. The Hebrew writer tells us, let's first look in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, and there's actually many scriptures I guess we can go to here in Hebrews that really deal with this. We'll look at a couple, but Hebrews 3 and verse 12 is a warning here against that tendency, I think, of slipping away and selling the truth, of giving up something of value that we have had, that we bought. It says there, beware brethren. And notice he's talking to brethren. This is Christians. You know, there are some that say once you're saved, you're always saved, and there's nothing you can do to lose it. Here the Hebrew writer is writing to those who are Christians. And he says, beware brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That tells me it's possible to lose your salvation after you have it. It's possible to sell that truth after you have bought it. It's possible to become unfaithful. And then a few chapters over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11 and 12, the Hebrew writer adds this, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Again, he's writing to Christians here, and he tells them that he doesn't want them to become sluggish, that he wants them to continue with zeal and enthusiasm in their service of God. And he points out that he wants them to have the diligence, the full assurance of hope until the end. And that's what we must do. We have to stay faithful until the end. So it's possible to sell the truth. Jesus taught that there would be those who, having heard the truth, would allow it to be choked out. I remember in Luke 8, the parable that he tells concerning the seed being sown in various different parts of the ground. And he says here in Luke chapter 18 that there would be some that they heard the truth, but the cares and the things of this life would interfere in all that. In verse 14, he says the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So we see here, sometimes that happens. Those who hear the word, but then they're choked out. The word gets choked out because they sell it. They let it go because of the cares of this world, because of the temptations that come, worldly pleasures and worldly goods and things like that that they desire. And instead of keeping their perspective on what is truly valuable, they think the things of the world are the valuable things that they need. And they allow those things to come between them and their service to God. And as a result, the word gets choked out. Jesus goes on to explain, though, that the ones that fell on good ground, they are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Those with a good heart, they understand the value of what they have. They understand the value of the truth. It is God's message of salvation. We probably all know some who have sold out the gospel. We probably all can think of people who maybe they became discouraged and gave up their faith. We can probably think of some that because they wanted the praise of men, didn't stand for the gospel when they should. I think of the Pharisees, and we have a great example of them. They wanted the praise of men. They wanted what others could see on the outside. We also see that maybe it was this love of the world and the pleasures of the world that choked out the word and caused some to become unfaithful. Maybe they sold out the truth because they wanted to be accepted by others. Maybe it was family or friends. You know, we have to give up those things. We have to sacrifice. Those are things, as we've looked at before, we have to be willing to give up and put our priority first with the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter tells us it's better to have never known the truth than to have bought it and sold it. As he points out there in 2 Peter the 2nd chapter, begin reading with me verse 20, he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, and having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to a true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now, neither one of those is a good, pleasant picture to think about, but I think it really puts in perspective what it means. If we have a knowledge of the truth, and then we give it up to go back to worldly things and become unfaithful to the Lord. A dog going back to vomit, that's what it's like. Not pleasant to think about, but that's exactly what it's like when we sell the truth, when we become unfaithful, when we turn against God. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul, he says he's not ashamed of the gospel, and he goes on to describe the gospel as the power of God to salvation. That's what the truth is all about. It's God's power to save. That's the value that's in the Word of God. It's His power to save. Some will sell the gospel short in being God's power to save. Some think that we have to offer more. That we have to offer more than just the gospel. That we have to do other things to attract people, so that they will come, and then maybe we can offer some types of entertainment or something to get them in the building. Then we can preach it to them, the gospel. And many, as we see, that claim to be churches are moving to that. That's a lack of faith in what God says. God says the gospel, the truth, the message, that's the power to save. We don't need other things. And many people sell the gospel short in being that power to save. And as a result, they go beyond what is authorized by God in order to try to draw people to Him. It just doesn't work. It's important that we have confidence in the message of God. It's important that we have confidence that the gospel is that power to save, because that's what the Lord tells us. It's important that we follow God's plan and let the gospel be God's power to save. So there's a couple of questions I think we have to consider for ourselves. And these are important. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road. What does all this mean to me? How am I applying all this to my life? Well, a couple of things I think we need to ask ourselves, considering all these things, about buying the truth and not selling it. Number one, am I willing to deny myself in order to buy the truth and not sell it? You know, self-denial, I think, is the first condition of discipleship. If we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we have to deny ourselves first. Matthew 16 and verse 24. That's exactly what Jesus tells those who would be his disciple. Those who were following him, again, some following for the wrong reason, some that were just followers but not disciples. And Jesus tells them if they want to be his disciples, something they're going to have to do. Verse 24 of Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. What does that mean? Well, again, it means that we're going to give up some things that maybe are temporary worldly pleasures, things that maybe are enjoyable or fun for us for a temporary time on this earth. We're going to give that up because we know a far more valuable thing, and that's serving God and the reward that awaits those who are faithful. That's what it means kind of to deny ourselves, not necessarily do what the world is pulling at us to do and not falling to the temptations that we have, but instead of standing strong and faithful and doing what God wants us to do, doing what Christ has commanded us to do instead of what this world is telling us to do. And the draws of the things that the world wants us to do, we'll give those things up. We'll sacrifice those things, deny ourselves to follow Jesus. Paul serves again as a great example. Look over in Galatians 2 and verse 20 and see again one of the things that he wrote. And he serves as this great example of someone who I believe was willing to deny himself in order to buy the truth and not sell it. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I'm doing what Christ wants me to do. It's him living in me. It's not about what I want, it's about what Christ wants me to do. That was the attitude that Paul lived his life with, and we can look throughout the scriptures and see that. Do you think Paul wanted to go through those beatings and imprisonments that he went through? Do you think he wanted to go through the stoning and being left for dead? Do you think he wanted to go through all those kind of things? Obviously he didn't. None of us would. But he knew that by doing that and standing for the truth, he was helping others learn the gospel, and he was doing the things that the Lord wanted him to do. It wasn't about him, it was about the Lord. And that's the attitude that we need to have. It's not about us, it's about Christ. It's about what he wants, not about what we want. It's not about what we're going through, but it's about what he went through for us. It's all about him. And that's how Paul lived his life. And that's what he says in Galatians 2. It's not I who live, but Christ is living in me. So am I willing to deny myself? Am I willing to have that attitude of Paul? To say it's Christ living in me. That it's not about me, it's about him. And it's about serving him and doing the things that he would have me to do. And the second question I think it's important for us to consider is, am I willing to continue to abide in the teachings of Christ? You know, that willingness to deny ourselves to come to Christ, that's the first step. And that's when we obey the gospel and become a Christian. But as we've seen before, as we've seen in this lesson already, it's important to continue along that road. Am I willing to continue to abide in the teachings of Christ? In John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews there who believed him, as it says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, a few things in this verse. First of all, he says you have to abide in my word if you're going to be my disciple. We have to abide in that truth. We have to buy the truth and not sell it if we're going to be his disciple. And he says that truth will make you free. It will make you free from your sins. We'll have forgiveness if we follow that truth. And it's going to make us free from really a lot of things that we face in this life, knowing that, again, God is there to help us. We looked at this morning. Christ will strengthen us. So we see that we have to continue to abide in the teachings of Christ. And it's important that we not give that up. That it's important that we understand that if we're not careful, we can sell the truth. That we can let it slip away and become unfaithful to the Lord. And so we have to continue to abide in the teachings of Christ. Now, how do you answer those important questions? How do you answer the question, am I willing to deny myself in order to be a disciple of Jesus, in order to buy the truth and sell it not? Well, if you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll consider that this evening, that you need to deny yourself, that you need to realize the value in the message of the gospel, the value in God's message, which is the power to save. Because in this message of the gospel, it tells us what we must do to have salvation. On the first day, on the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, it was repent and be baptized was the answer when they said, what must we do? And that same plan is still in effect for us today as well. If you've never done that, deny yourself tonight, maybe. Deny the things that maybe this world is pulling at you. And do what Christ wants you to do. And then maybe as a Christian, maybe you've not been continuing to abide in the teachings of Christ. Maybe you have sold the truth. You need to buy it back. You need to get it back. Realize the value of the message of the gospel. Realize the value that salvation is to us. Have you bought the truth by denying yourself and submitting to the gospel, the message of God's power to save? And have you bought the truth by becoming a Christian, but sold it away by not continuing to abide in God's doctrine, in His Word? If your life is not right with God, you have a chance tonight to make that right, to have the right relationship with Him.